Risk child today. Learn more by visiting Wildwood Hills Ranch.
Des Moines' home for sports, news, and a whole lot more.
I'm addicted.
Yeah, I listen to you all the time.
The Big Talker, 1700 KPGG, a Cumulus station.
This is Tiki Barber with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. In reality, I actually believe Josh McDaniels' change of heart to renege on becoming the Indianapolis Colts head coach as genuine, that he was given a lot of incentives to stay on as Bill Belichick's offensive coordinator. A hefty raise, assurance from Tom Brady that he's not ready to hang it up, and who knows, perhaps a wink and a nod that he'll be New England's coach in waiting when and if Belichick retires. However, I can't help but think, and kind of secretly hope, that this is a backdoor slap in the face for Deflategate. Remember, it was the Colts in the 2014-15 AFC Championship game who accused Tom Brady and the Patriots of illegally underinflating their footballs. Ultimately, Brady served a 4-game suspension and the team was heavily fined and had to forfeit a first-round draft pick. Look, I know this probably isn't the case, but it would be kind of awesome if it was. I'm Tiki Barber.
Are you at home, but you kind of wish you weren't? And you should really stick around the house because of reasons?
Jimmy, no baseball in the house!
That's why Buffalo Wild Wings has a new online ordering experience. So when your kid brings home a stray dog, that's actually a coyote, a rabid one, for whatever reason life requires you to stay put, get takeout with our new online ordering experience and be where you have to be. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Availability may vary.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We have a full hour still to go until 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker, 1700. Jimmy B and TC now saying hello to Rob Howe, Hawk Nation. It's always good when Rob comes on the show. Rob, let's start first with the basketball game, and then we'll get in depth a little more with your knowledge of all the recruiting things that took place today. It was a fun game to watch. I thought Iowa played their hearts out, just not quite good enough down the stretch to close it out. But, and I asked Trent this question, I'm going to ask it of you. Is this a one game where they played like that, or do you think that maybe now this may carry over into other games as they begin to start to close the season out?
Yeah, Jim, I think time will tell. Obviously, we're going to find out quick when they, have road games at Ohio State and Michigan coming up. Two teams that have already beaten them in Carver Hawkeye. Pretty soundly, both of those victories for Ohio State and Michigan. That was kind of the question we had of those guys last night was, where's this been? They've talked a lot this season about, being close and just needing to put it together. And they were able to do that last night. And, I think there was a part of them last night that was like, man, I wish we could have done this earlier in the season. We probably could have won some games. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's just part of this process for the young team, that it took a while to get to this point. But we'll find out how far they've come here Saturday and then next week against Michigan. And, last night you had contributions. It was the best game overall for Iowa, but I think particularly for the backcourt guys, when you consider Jordan Bohannon, 17 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, no turnovers, and after being sick and throwing up most of Monday, Isaiah Moss played the way they need Isaiah Moss to play aggressively. And then Macy Daly was the guy who hit open shots. We've seen that happen against Iowa all season where guys hit open shots. it was nice to see somebody for Iowa do that. So that was, to me, that was the best thing that came out of last night, was the three backcourt guys, the three main backcourt guys played well.
Rob, in a way, and I completely understand what the guys are saying so close against a team as talented as Michigan State, but he still gave up a boatload of points, and that's the part that has to change. I don't think we've questioned offensively what this team can do, and they were certainly clicking on pretty much every level last night. The problem still is on that other end. In a way, can you maybe look at that as concerning, thinking that maybe these guys think they're close, but they aren't close on the other end of the floor?
No, I would agree, Trent, and that's the elephant in the room. How do they get better defensively? And it just hasn't happened this season. Even the game, you know, the week before where they beat Minnesota, they gave Minnesota 80 points, but they outscored them. They outscored Wisconsin. They outscored Illinois. You know, you look at their three wins, that's how they won. It wasn't done on the defensive end of the floor. You give them a little bit of a, you know, a pass last night when you look at how loaded Michigan State is, which is just, you know, all over the court with guys that are, you know, guys that are going to be in the NBA. So you give them a little bit of that. I thought they played harder and challenged more defensively last night, but not good enough. And where does that change? I don't know. Is it just maturity, you know, throughout the rest of this year and then the offseason going into next year? I still think they need to get, you know, some guys that can help them defensively on the perimeter, and we'll see what happens in the offseason. I think there's a chance a guy like Brady Ellingson could move on as a graduate transfer, so there's a scholarship there that maybe he can get. A defensive-minded point guard, junior college, late signing period, what have you. And then we'll see. You know, some other guys on this roster have lost minutes this year. We'll see if they're, you know, willing to come back next year, knowing that their role may remain to be reduced. But I think they do. They need more pieces on the perimeter defensively. That's just they. I don't think that's going to change with the current roster. It's not going to change enough.
Would you think that Fran McCaffrey might consider maybe making an assistant coaching move, maybe so he got a guy in who strictly worked on defensive strategy, or you being and knowing that coaching staff that well, is somebody designated as the defensive strategist or not?
I don't believe that, Jim, that they have a guy that just focuses strictly on defense. I think, you know, Kirk Sparrow, you're older veteran bench guy, you know, like Jim Molinari for Nebraska or what have you, the guy that's kind of been there and done that. He's the shot doctor, so to speak. He helps guys with their shots. I think Andrew Francis is more of the post player coach. Sherm Dillard kind of floats in between both of those spots. But I think I would be surprised if Franz fired somebody to bring in another coach, if somebody left on their own accord, found another job, something like that. Maybe he brings in an assistant that, you know, focuses on defense. But I don't think that he would let any of these guys go unless his hand was forced, and I don't think that would happen from above him.
I don't see that happening at all. The concern that I have is 8 years together. I mean, can you think of any college coaches that don't have any movement over an eight-year period? And though there's been success, we're not talking about a perennial national title contender here. Maybe it's time to say, Andrew Francis, the time is now. You're in your early 40s. If you want to be a head coach, let's go help you find that head coaching job. Because 8 years together, Rob, I just continue to come back. The groupthink in that room when things aren't going well, you need some influx of some new ideas.
Yeah, I wonder, Trent, how the dominant personality in that room, how that factors into things.
Good
if you know what I mean.
Yep. Yes.
He's the number one voice when it comes to recruiting, coaching, all that stuff. I think all of those guys, and I think he respects the other guys and their input, but ultimately it's him. And you know, it reminds me a little bit, if I could go back to, you know, the earlier run of Kirk Ferentz, where his staff was really stable for a lot of years and they didn't lose anybody for a lot of years, and people wondered if there needed to be changes there once they got into that you know, the 2007, 2006, 2007 season, you know, is it time? Do they need some fresh blood in there? Things like that. But I just, I don't know if a change, you know, if I don't know who they could bring in to that room that would change the dynamic of that coaching staff, I guess is what I'm saying.
It's frustrating. I think people were, or at least Hawk fans, were hoping that the team that they saw last night, despite the defeat, was the team they were going to see most of the season, and we all know that that hasn't happened. So, at any rate, let's move on then. The recruiting was big today. You guys do great work on the recruiting thing. So, Rob, kind of fill us in. How did Iowa fare, and who were some of the top guys?
Yeah, it's kind of like signing day. Well, now we have two signing days, but signing days, I guess you could say. It's kind of like spring training where everybody's optimistic about what happened. You never hear a coach come in and say, man, we really got whooped on this recruiting class. You know, every coach loves who they've gotten. And I think in this case, I think Iowa, and I'll say Iowa State too, I think both programs did real well just on paper. We never know how these guys are going to turn out, you know. There are guys like Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson, you know, this past season that are great examples of two stars that end up becoming All-Americans. So that happens, and it's not. And the high-ranked guys aren't always the guys that are the best guys in the class. But you know, if you look at it just on a paper perspective, it's their best class, at least ranking-wise, from Rivals, 247, those type of sites since 2011. And that 2011 class is the one that had a large part in that 2015 unbeaten Big Ten season. So if you believe that history can repeat itself, you look at this class and say, yeah, hopefully this group develops in that way. Heavy on the defense, guys, and I think that's kind of made sense. They needed help in the secondary. They needed help at linebacker. In both of those positions, they hit really hard. A couple guys that stand out to me, Dallas Creative, safety from the St. Louis area, DJ Johnson, who did sign last month but didn't announce that he signed until today, cornerback out of Indianapolis North Central. Iowa beat LSU, Notre Dame, and others for him. His townmate, his Indianapolis townmate, Julius Brents, is another guy who signed last month but didn't announce it today. Another guy that I like a lot in the class, versatile defensive back. A guy that I think will impact them right away is a junior college guy from Iowa Western, from Wisconsin, who they signed actually last year, but then went to junior college as Davian Nixon, defensive tackle. He's very disruptive and a guy that I think can get in the rotation right away. Terry Roberts is a guy from Pennsylvania that kind of flew under the radar but had a really good senior year. And then they topped the class off, and there are other guys in the class that I think – have a chance to be pretty good as well. But Jaden McDonald, they added a Georgia linebacker on Monday. That was their push. He was the main guy they were after in this late signing period. They beat Purdue, Ole Miss, and Kansas State for him. Guy that was kind of a late bloomer, but the defensive player of the year in Georgia, and they were able to go in there for the second year in a row. They get a pretty good player out of Georgia. They got Trey Kramer out of there last year. The new coach that they brought in as their 10th assistant, Derek Foster, has, you know, ties and roots down in the Georgia, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama area. So there's a chance that this could be, I don't say it will, but it could be the start of maybe being able to grab some guys out of that southern area moving forward.
A couple minutes left here with Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com. Rob, some of the news and notes that came out of the press conference. Not going to see the Hawkeyes making their way here to our fine city. We're certainly locally disappointed about that, but no, logistically had to be difficult. Any reason why did Kirk say why they won't be making an appearance this spring in Des Moines? Just the one look in spring game at the end of spring practice.
Yeah, I don't know if they have to. I haven't heard that they decided that they're definitely not going to West Des Moines, Trent. I know they talked about when it opens, practice opens, and then the spring game. Has it been reported that they are?
Yeah, Morehouse had a tweet that they won't be coming to Des Moines this year.
Okay, so he may have asked somebody on the side about that, because Kirk didn't really address it today.
Okay.
But they just addressed it, you know, the sports information director addressed it at the beginning that you know, they're starting practice on March 21st and that the spring game would be April 20th at night on a Friday night. But I don't know. It seemed like the West Des Moines thing was going pretty well. They had pretty good crowds. Last year it was just freezing cold out there, so the weather could be a concern, I guess, the not knowing what the weather is. But I'm sure it's a logistical thing that, you know, picking up and bringing everybody 2 hours to the West probably isn't convenient for them. And that would be my guess as to why they decided not to do that. I think it's a shame. I think it's good for people in Central Iowa and even Western Iowa being able to get over, especially when you play your spring game on a Friday night, which is difficult for people to get to when they're coming from distance. I think it's, who knows, maybe it's a one-year thing, maybe they'll revisit it down the road.
Always good, pal, when we catch up with you, Rob. Thank you for the time. And now I know you got to get out there and write all your stories to get them up on the website for all the recruiting folks.
Yes, it's like Christmas, Jim.
Thanks, Rob.
It's Christmas for everybody.
Yes, yes. So, a different kind of Christmas for you. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Rob Howe HN. And they'll have a ton of content up. They always do a great job with that, Jimmy B.
Yep.
What they put up there at Hawkeye Nation. Another kind of interesting part, so you got the guys that signed in December, a few more today. Iowa also released their list of walk-ons today, guys that are committed to walk on. Got some local kids there. John Carlson from Bondurant Farrar, who's listed as a linebacker. Jake Morrison and Nathan Nelson. His brother Anthony Nelson already there from Waukee. Also have Dolly Catholic's Mitchell Riggs, who will be walking on, another Waukee kid, and Kyle Sorensen. So some local kids, and Trey Winters, whose father, James Winters. Jimmy B, we talked to James about a winter ago.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. He'll be walking on the football team. So cool to see in those walk-ons, Jim. We've seen this Iowa program. It's a big part of what the Hawkeyes do, getting those guys that come in there, develop, and can turn into some really nice players. Big group, though, 20 of them this season. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to be joined by Zubin Mehente from ESPN. Saw him last night on SportsCenter. He joins us next. The 18 State Wrestling Tournament is coming to 1700 KBGG. February 15th through the 17th on your home for high school sports, 1700 KBGG.
Hey, honey, going to the chicken coop to watch the game.
Whoa, football season is over. What game?
The basketball, soccer, hockey game, race.
Oh, big fan of those sports now, are we?
Yeah, always. You know me.
You're really just going for the wings and beer, aren't you?
Pretty much. Bye.
Yeah, buddy. The chicken coop knows what's up. The games are great, but the real MVPs are the flame-broiled wings and beer at your favorite sports bar. The Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill, West Des Moines and Urbandale.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at therookiesportscards.com.
Cumulus Media and the American Heart Association invite you to join us for the 25th Annual Heart Ball presented by Iowa Heart Center in Mercy, along with Unity Point Health Des Moines, on February 10th at the Community Choice Credit Union Convention Center. This fun event will highlight how far we've come in the fight against heart disease and stroke, and how you can help make our community a healthier place to live, work, and play. Learn more, purchase tickets, or make a donation at heart.org/DSM Heartball. That's heart.org/DSM Heartball. We'll see you there.
And welcome back once again. It's Jimmy B and TC with you, 1700 KBGG. We'll take you up until 6 o'clock here tonight. Joining us right now from his outpost in Bristol, Connecticut. Well, they're not much better out there. Zubin Mehente with ESPN. Zubin, what's going on?
Not much. You know, I had a chance to watch Iowa in detail for the first time last night. If you would have said that's the only time I saw them, I would have said they played pretty game. I know the last couple of games, particularly at the end, has been really tough. And I know Hawkeye fans probably don't want to hear this. But barring that pass at the end of the game, all things considered, I know the opponent obviously has a lot of other things on their mind at this moment, too. I thought, all in all, that was a pretty inspired effort. I really did.
Yeah, they were right there. They look good. They look like, really, they look like the team we expected to see all season long. Alas, that hasn't been the case. Before we get into some college basketball, Zubin, though, so afterwards, knew you were going to be on, talked with you yesterday, so stuck around SportsCenter and watched pretty much start to finish you working over there, and really enjoyed your guys' piece, 30 years to the day of the dunk contest of 1988. As a child of the 80s, obviously, right in my wheelhouse. Neek going up against MJ. How much fun was that to put together?
It really was cool, because I think if you're a child of the 80s, and I think a lot of people that have a romantic nature about ESPN are sort of 80s, 90s people, so I would expect to start seeing that a lot more, because I think at this pace, there's so many options on TV. If you just click by something and see Michael Jordan or Dominique Wilkins flying through the air, you're bound to just stop. Now, we were promoting that all night long, and in fact, because the Iowa game went a little past 11 o'clock Eastern or 10 o'clock where you are, the show became truncated. If you go back and look at that 88 All-Star Weekend, we were actually promoting it as the greatest All-Star Weekend ever, because the three-point contest was also tremendous that particular year. Just an amazing finish there as well. But the dunk contest, 88 in Chicago with Jordan, with Dominique. And I think the thing that I really liked about it, I think that thing was about as long as anything else we did in the show. I might have had a two-minute conversation with Mike Reese on the Pats. We may have talked to Adam Schefter for about that long about the Pats. Obviously, the Cavs disaster was something we did. But that basically had as much time in the show as anything else. And I think it's a tip of the cap to what you're saying, Trent, that a lot of people, hey, look, you can go to YouTube and get that right away. It's really not that hard to find. Mm-hmm. But at the end of a long day, if you don't realize it's the 30th anniversary, you're starting to take stock of, like, well, where was I 30 years ago? Was I even alive 30 years ago for some of our viewers? You look at it and just say, you know what? I can see the Cavs lost a million different places. I can hear LeBron's comments in a million different places. It may sound strange to you and Jim and I, because we remember that dunk contest, but for a lot of our viewers, that's the first time they're seeing that. So it's allowing us to bring something to the table that you haven't seen before. And with all the media as we have today, as you guys know, it's getting harder and harder and harder to put things out there that are truly new and unique. Again, to me and you and Jim, not totally unique. To a lot of our viewers, it was. But it was great, because the one thing you don't see, Trent, you don't see a lot of Neek dunks. Well, all people really remember is the foul line dunk. And just to see some of Dominique's windmills and see some of what he did, it was really cool. So I'm glad we got it in, and it was kind of a neat little thing, as opposed to just showing everything that happened in sports that night.
Sorry, Jim. I'm kind of stealing everything
That's okay.
here.
Go ahead. That's all right.
You know, with SportsCenter and the entity and the changing habits of viewers, and I've been watching on Snapchat a lot of the videos that Katie Nolan's been doing, and I think it's really cool in a different way of making an impact. You know, SportsCenter, it has changed. It has evolved. And I know there was a rumor out there of you know, Oberman coming back and teaming up again with Dan Patrick. And you know, for people like me, obviously we like to see that. Jim's generation, I think the same thing. But when you're talking about that younger demographic and just more than just the highlights, how different is it? And the evolution that you're going through right now on SportsCenter?
Yeah, I think the real difference is just a matter of what catches people, because it's sort of like your radio show. If you come on and say, we're going to talk about this, this, and that, and you're going to talk about 10 things in your show, when you guys come on, or whenever you find that the highest listenership, you've got to make sure we're going to say, okay, we're going to talk to Fran McCaffrey. We're going to get Steve Prohl. We're going to have Matt Campbell from Signing Day. We're going to have somebody out in Iowa City. What do people want that particular day? And I think what's really changed in the sports world was we kind of knew what the big stories were, and we chased them in a macro fashion. Now, what's the big story now? What's the big story in an hour? What's the big story an hour and a half later? Yeah. And I think Signing Day is a very apropos day to actually bring this topic up, Trent, because the way these stories tend to move and shift, and the classes go up and the classes go down, what's hard is you're trying to put together a two-hour radio show. We're trying to put together a one-hour TV show, but we're putting it together at 4:30 in the afternoon, and it's 7 o'clock at night. And at 8 o'clock at night. And by the time we go on, which is maybe 11:08 or 11:09 or whatever it was, Eastern time, by then, McDaniels has backed out. By then, Porzingis has tore his ACL. By then, the Magic have given up only 9 points to the Cavs in the fourth quarter. By then, LeBron has insisted he will not waive his no-trade clause, and we have to come on and figure out what's the most important thing right now. Because when you start your radio show, if you start with Iowa State's better-than-expected signing day coming off this sort of season, you don't want to do this, but you're alienating some of your Hawk fans. You're not trying to do that. If we come on last night and we decide, well, it's the NBA trade deadline Thursday, let's do the Cavs. Wait a minute. When's the last time something like this happened in the NFL? But hang on, the freshest story, the newest story that people may not have heard about is Porzingis. And so we have to balance all of that, and that's just getting harder and harder to do. The easy answer, Trent, is start with the freshest news, because at that point the viewer doesn't sit there at home and say, oh, I knew that. Oh, I saw that on my phone. Maybe that's sometimes the best way to go. But in other ways, if Adam Schefter breaks the Colts story at, let's say, 8:30 at night, whatever time it was, our time, you might have known about it, and every football fan might know about it at 11. But if we bring on the guy that broke the story and knows the inside details, maybe that's the best way to go. Even though it's an old story, we're giving you information you can't get elsewhere. So it's just a story-by-story, day-by-day thing. I don't think anybody's right. I don't think anybody's wrong. But I would tell you it's much more challenging than it used to be, for sure.
Zubin Mehenta is our guest from ESPN right here on the Big Talker 1700. By the way, Zubin, Brent Berry's foul line dunk was better than Jordan's, just for the record. Quickly here, with what you just discussed, you're correct when you say things just happen. It used to be you could plan your show out, and that's the way that it would be at 10 or 11 o'clock whenever the news began. Now it transitions so quickly with all of the social media things. My question to you then is, since you sat down and you watched Iowa's game against Michigan State, can you think back how many teams give up plus 90 points like that, and they will score 90 points as well and still lose in regulation time like that?
You know, I think what it comes down to is your statement is simple in the sense that I simply distill it to this. There's just no elite team. So anytime I see something, whether it's last night, whether what you bring to the table, I'm just not surprised. Villanova has one loss. They just can't beat Butler. It just can't happen. And I look at Kentucky having lost last night. The last time they lost four games in a row under Cal at any point was Memphis in 2005. He's never lost three games in a row at Kentucky. The last time he lost four in a row was in 2005 in Memphis. Yet 95% of teams in America would change rosters with Kentucky in 1 second. In 1 second. Even if you told them, look, in 10 months, we're not going to have any of these guys. So I agree with what you just said, but every time I watch, you know, look, the game before the Iowa game last night, Jim, Tennessee and Kentucky, the Vols were favored to win that game at Rupp. The Vols, if I'm not mistaken, were picked to finish 13th in the 14-team SEC. 13th. They swept Kentucky this year. So to your point, I agree. I see some of these things, the point totals you referenced, and I'm just like, what? But every single night I watch, and every single night I think to myself, well, Texas A&M, they were supposed to win the SEC, and, you know, they started out as poor as possible. You know, Iowa State, their ability to rise up, even though they might finish near the bottom of the Big 12 at home. We've seen it numerous times, the Texas Tech game, the West Virginia game. So I think it's actually going to make for a great March. I do think it's better when there's some elite teams. I do feel like it's better when Wichita had that undefeated run. It doesn't feel quite the same with St. Mary's. Gonzaga isn't quite what Gonzaga was. I do feel you need that one breakout team to sort of make everybody sort of shoot for something. Normally that team is Duke. I don't feel like we have that team this year. I think it could end up being a better tournament if we do go under the auspices we have now, which is, who knows? But you can't deny when Kentucky was trying to go for 40-0, that was one of the most thrilling things college basketball seen in a really long time. We don't have that sort of outfit, but I think if we did, regular season interest would be better, right? It's sort of like the Super Bowl. Even if the Jags got in, who cares? We're watching the Super Bowl. Who cares? And March Madness starts, everyone's in. But if you want people to pay attention to the regular season, you really need a team to stand out above the rest with any sort of storyline, whether it's Trae Young, Ben Simmons, whatever the storyline is, 40-0. We just don't have that storyline this year. But despite that, ratings are up on games because the games are wild and crazy, and guys like Trae Young, who we didn't expect, have come out of nowhere to fill some of those gaps.
Speaking of Trae Young, I see there is a growing sentiment that maybe ESPN's going a little bit too far. Every time that there's a dead ball, all right, we cut to one screen with him on it and see what he's doing and how he reacts. And every time he's out on the floor, it's a constant ticker of what he's doing. I understand that's what people want to see, but is there a sense that maybe you do go too far? Because there's a lot of great stories, but it seems like this season you found the one in Trae Young and you're not hitting everything else.
I mean, I think if Turner did the same thing with Steph Curry, nobody would say anything. When Steph Curry, a couple of years ago, we would actually show, I don't know if you guys remember this because there's obviously so much going on, but, and I know it's not a big NBA town out there. I know Jimmy's a big NBA guy. Trey, we'll get you there one day, but it's one of those things where, Jim, you remember when Steph would take his warm-up shots a couple years ago. This is sort of abated after they got Kevin Durant and things started to change a little bit, and obviously the Cavs finally got over on him in the 2016 Finals. But do you remember, Jim, when Steph would go out for his warm-ups and, like, people would televise his pregame warm-ups? It was like
yes.
McGuire and Sosa taking VP, got to get to the yes. ballpark to see this. This is as good as the game. And I'll be telling you, on SportsCenter, when we had a game, I specifically covered a game. A couple years ago, the Warriors started 24-0. In the last game of that 24-game streak, they ended up losing to the Bucks on, like, a Saturday night in some crazy game. But the previous Friday, the day before, they played the Boston Celtics, beat them in double OT. And I was covering that game for ESPN, just made the drive up to do some work for SportsCenter. And we were, Trent, get this, we were not only televising Steph Curry's pregame warm-up, we were charting it. Like, make this shot, this is that shot, in the tunnel shot, this shot. Because there was an unbelievable appetite for that information. Now, I'm not just making the corollary because Trae Young's been compared to Steph Curry. I'm just saying if another network had done that with somebody that had captured the imagination of the sports world, you know, I think it would just be seen as, wow, they're going out of the box. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas I think sometimes an ESPN does and it's seen as, like, overkill. But the bottom line is, and by the way, this is how big Trae Young is. Like, listen, Kansas is going for their 14th, I think we all know this, Kansas is going for their 14th straight share or outright Big 12 title. Earlier this week, or a few days ago, they played Oklahoma. And Trae Young was by far a bigger story than a team trying to pass John Wooden as the greatest collective conference champion ever. And some dude from Norman, Oklahoma, that was a five-star recruit, there had 22 players ranked ahead of him in his high school class, ended up being the bigger story. And that's the other thing, Trent. Like, nobody expected Curry. Right? I mean, right. The ankles, the this, nobody expected it. Now, Trae was a five-star kid. Let's not pretend like, you know, the people were like, Tom Brady was a six-round pick. You know, he went to Michigan, right? You got to play a little bit if you go to Michigan. So Trae Young was a five-star kid. It's just that Bagley got so much attention and Ayton got so much attention and even, like, Colin Sexton got so much attention that the beauty of this guy is that he was probably always talented, had some great genes, much like Curry, had some awesome basketball DNA, and it finally just popped to the surface. I think even in 2018, as hard as it is to be surprised as a sports fan, part of what's made Young so great is that you knew Bagley would be great, and you know Zion's going to be great next year. You just didn't know Trae was going to be great. And when we get surprised in 2018, when the Philly special gets called in the Super Bowl, when you think you've seen everything, when we truly get surprised in sports, it doesn't happen that often anymore. We're all kind of jaded and cynical and down on things, and we've seen everything. You truly see something you really are shocked by. You really put your arms around it. So I think, Trent, to answer your question, it's also a little bit more of an emotional reaction from sports fans being thrilled by something they thought would just be pretty good, but not turning out the way it's turned out for Trae Young. I think there's that sort of shock and awe aspect that people enjoy.
Zubin, I know today was a big day for a lot of high school kids and the recruiting thing. Did you happen to see the video clip of a young man who announced that he was going to Florida instead of Alabama or Tennessee. Those were the other hats that were out there. And his mother had an Alabama shirt on and got up and left the table when he said he was going to Florida.
I did see it. I saw Bruce Feldman tweet about it. So when that's going to be played over and over again today on TV, and that once again kind of goes back to Trent's first question of where did you see it? I'm going to raise my hand, guilty as charged. I actually saw it on Twitter before I saw it on TV, and I know that we are constantly doing signing day coverage, ESPN and CBS Sports Network, and everybody's all over signing day, all over the place, SEC Network, Longhorn Network, Pac-12 Network, everyone's over everything, and I have to admit I saw it on Twitter first, so right, I'm right there. But I would say to that, I think at the end of the day, again, I'm almost 40 years old. I think Trent's in that group. I just think sometimes we have to step back and just realize what kind of decision that is. Like, I mean, I work in front of a camera and a microphone now, and I've been doing it for the last 18 years. But for the first 18 years of my life, I never had a momentous decision to make like that. And I never had to make it in front of people. And I never had to make it with my parents sitting next to me and me thinking anything other than, oh my goodness, I hope my parents will be happy with this decision. I think sometimes because of the money that's at stake, because of the expectations, because of the way we've kind of lionized these guys, we tend to lose sight of the fact that they're kids. It's sort of like McDaniels. What I think McDaniels did yesterday, Jim, was reprehensible, mm-hmm. and I know his agent Bob Lamont has distanced himself. But when we were talking to Schefter last night and Mike Reese, our Pats reporter, one thing that stuck into my mind, I didn't really say it on the air, is I thought to myself when Schefter was saying, you know, he's got four kids, he's rooted there. Yeah, he might get the job after Belichick. There's no guarantee. There's some Rooney Rule stuff there. You can't just give him the job. But Schefter was trying to say, you know, sometimes these people are people first and coaches second, and we just don't get that. Like, we don't even look at athletes as athletes. We just look at their dollar figure. Is this guy a tradable asset? Wait a minute, this guy's a human being, you know? He's not a tradable asset. And I think what happens is to a much similar degree, at that age, making that sort of decision can be really, really nerve-wracking. And so in situations like that, I don't feel for McDaniels because he's 41 and he knew what he was doing and he left coaches in the lurch. But if you're 18 and you have to make a decision like that, I really feel for you. I think we just often look at these guys as adults because they play under the biggest and brightest of lights with huge pressure. But I think it's sometimes we just lose sight of the fact of who they are. If you're McDaniels in 41, you have to be better than that. If you're an 18-year-old kid, I'm just rooting for you to get through that.
Zubin, I look on Twitter for you all the time. You say you're on Twitter. I can't find Zubin Mahente to follow, though.
No, what I do is, I've often said this, if 10 million voices are weighing in on something, I don't need to make it 10 million one. That's okay. Just generally my thought. So what I do is when something really big is happening, like NBA trade deadline, I'll go to the people I really respect, and I'll just sort of pop them up on my browser and just keep refreshing them. Major League Baseball trade deadline, Rosenthal. NFL, Schefter. College football, Herbie's opinions on a Saturday morning. And I just try to do that sort of stuff. I followed you guys a little bit as well. I know you're the guests you guys have sometimes on the show if I'm trying to lock in on Iowa, because I know you guys tweet that stuff out and Ken tweets some stuff out. So my general one-sentence description of me on Twitter is I'm a consumer, not a contributor. I think there's a lot of good news posted on Twitter, which I can consume, but I don't need to be the next guy to tell you that this is the Pats getting back at the Colts. I think that's been established like 7 million times already. Right. I'll let Greg Doyle say it, and then I'll just nod my head.
Zubin, always enjoy the conversation. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, as always, so much for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Have a good show. Thanks.
Zubin Mahente joining us here today. Always fun. Always entertaining. And well, Jimmy B, though not officially on Twitter, he's on Twitter.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he. But I know you are. I know you are at Jimmy B Radio is where you can find the tweets from Jimmy B, unfiltered Jim Brinson, if people want to.
That would be me.
Yeah, yeah. What are you up to now? How many followers you got?
21.
You do not. What do you have, 500?
No, I have more than that.
How many?
I got a few.
600?
A couple hundred more. Keep going.
Couple hundred more. Get out of here. You don't have that many.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Oh, now I'm looking. I don't believe you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's close to 7.
Close to 7?
Yeah.
Let's see here. All right. Da, da, da. Where is Jimmy B?
I'm going to say about 690.
690. Jimmy?
That's my guess. I don't do it for...
Yeah, you're right.
I just do it.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, 689, okay. Growing up there.
Yeah.
You got about a quarter as much as me. I mean, that's not bad.
Well, you've been doing it a lot longer than me. You're the guy who got me into it to begin with.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. We just know four times more people want to hear what I have to say as opposed to you.
Hey, I can deal with that. I'm good.
It all
pays the same.
I'm just throwing you some shade. Yeah. It's free to consume. Well, it can't be free for us. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back, put a cap on things on the other side. When we do, we'll make some picks for tonight. Three of the four teams in action from our fine state. We'll talk about that. What else is on tap on your sports night here? It's 1700 KBGG, Jimmy B and TC. We're back in a moment.
And welcome back, everybody. About to wrap things up here. It's a good thing that we know how to bundle up in this weather. Can you imagine somebody who was up here visiting from Florida or Georgia, something like that? They would probably have, they'd be frozen to death by now. They really would.
Nah, hell with those punks. Deal with it. All right, Jimmy B. So we got hoops tonight. So we got...
Yes, we do.
Iowa State, you and I, Drake, all in action this evening. Go ahead.
And one monster Big Ten game, too, with Ohio State at Purdue as well.
Yeah, a pretty good Big Ten game already underway, too. Looking forward to getting home and watching a little Maryland-Penn State. Keep an eye on that one. But, yeah, you're right. Obviously, the big matchup with Purdue and Ohio State. Big number in that game. I was a little surprised. 9.
Really?
Purdue favored by 9. Let's see.
Wow.
And check that. I'm just looking right now. Updated. Okay. Up to 10.5 now.
Everybody was hitting Purdue then.
I guess so. But we're talking about the locals. Well, let's start with Iowa State. They are a huge underdog themselves. 14-point dog. They beat this team by 18 when they saw them a couple weeks back in Hilton. Cyclones have struggled on the road. Jimmy B, do you see a competitive game at the very least?
I think it's competitive for a while. I think that Texas Tech will wear them down in the second half. It's also a payback game as well for what you just chronicled, and you saw it firsthand. I don't know. I just think that they're undermanned, meaning Iowa State, and so incredibly young. I think you're going to get a couple of games like what we both saw, what they were able to accomplish with those wins, and then you're going to get games where they get dusted. And I have a feeling that tonight's one of those dusting games.
Texas Tech, they are a half game back of Kansas in the standings.
Yeah.
Stay with them in the loss column. 14 just seems like too many.
It is a lot, yeah.
I know, no Wyler Babb again tonight. Not going to see Hans Brace out there, but...
Right.
Tally.
Short-handed.
They are. I don't know. I think it's too much. We'll say Iowa State remains competitive tonight.
Here's what you have to put in perspective. What do you do when you get guys in foul trouble? Say if Lard or Young gets in foul, both of them get in foul trouble.
Well, then your plans are on Tally at the 4.
Well, things can fall apart in a hurry if that takes place.
Before that, 7 o'clock, Drake is in Chicago to take on Loyola. Bradley at UNI tonight. Panthers are a favorite this game. I don't get that point spread at all, the way that UNI has been playing. And Drake, they are an 11-point dog against Loyola. That seems like too much. I understand Loyola blew him out in the Knapp Center, but that was a tie game with 10 minutes left. I think the Doggies have a good run in them. And, boy, I just can't pick the Panthers. After that home loss to Indiana State over the weekend, it's just a team that can't get out of their own way. They can't put together a consistent 40 minutes. So two losses out of the MVC. I'll say that UNI gets beat outright as a 3.5-point favorite. Bulldogs keep it close, though. I'm going down that path.
You think so? Okay. All right. They just cannot shoot the ball. Just cannot shoot. And I have no idea why that is. I don't know if somebody opens up doors in the building just when they're taking their shot and it blows the ball crooked when the wind blows through. Trent, I have no idea what has happened to this team and their offensive game. So I'm with you. Until I see something, dramatically take place, I'm going to follow that lead and go with Bradley as well.
My favorite pick of the night in the SEC, also 8 o'clock like the Iowa State game. Texas A&M makes their way to Auburn. Auburn, the class of the SEC right now. A&M has been a huge disappointment. This was, for a lot of people, a preseason top 10 team coming into the year. But they're starting to play better. They've had suspensions. They've had injuries. Starting to start to turn a little right for Billy Kennedy's group. You're getting 7 down in Auburn. I'm going to take A&M tonight. That's my favorite play of the evening. All right? Little bonus for you.
Okay. Wasn't A&M, didn't they beat somebody big at the beginning of the year? They went in and knocked off somebody big. And
They played West Virginia early. That game was in Germany. Remember?
West Virginia
got off to a great start. They were up double digits early in the game, and then A&M came roaring back. But, yeah, since then, it's just it's been up and down for Texas A&M. Immensely talented team. They got off to a really good start. They had a 5-game losing streak during SEC play, but they're battling back. They've won 4 of their last 6, including their last 2. It's a road game, more difficult, but I think A&M's going to keep it snug against the Tigers tonight.
Quick. One more game, that Ohio State-Purdue game.
Oh, Purdue throttles them. Throttles them.
You really?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Throttles them.
Okay.
No Cam Williams. He's suspended indefinitely.
Yeah.
Purdue's just a lot better. Ohio State's been a nice story. Purdue is at a different level right now. Boilermakers big tonight.
Big. Okay, pal. I'm with you. That'll wrap it up, everybody. We are done. Please drive carefully if you're driving in the bad, bad weather, okay? We want you back to listen to the show tomorrow. And we will return tomorrow bright and early, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Jimmy B and TC on the Big Talker, 1700.